If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control. Yeah. The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a man is terrified in the middle of the night when a voice warns him, "We're coming for you." Who and why would something make such an ominous threat?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown. Possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear from you. And if you want access to quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories ever created, then become a supporter of our show at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You'll get access to all of that, all of our EPP bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week for you there. You get access to those. You get advanced episodes of the show months before they're released to the public, all commercial free as well. So if you're liking the show and not digging ads, I get it, but that does help keep the lights on here. You can subscribe there, $5 a month, get access to everything with no ads in it whatsoever. And we greatly appreciate your support of the program. It's Tony and Carol Hughes on today's episode of the show. And what's going on in your world?
Well, you know, not too much, Tony.
No.
Actually, no. Nothing, Tony.
Nothing.
Why do you always ask
Move on.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Because there's never anything going on, I swear.
Mm-hmm.
Because what can you do? I go to work and then I talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like
pretty much
this weird Groundhog's Day we're all in the middle of. That never ends.
That's really kind of true. It is. It's like the same thing every day. And yeah, it's like, what are we going to do?
You know, and I get my second shot in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm very excited about that. I'm pro-science, and I like the idea of being vaccinated.
Sure.
But I don't really see a ton changing, even after that. It's not like I'm going to be like, woo, and throw all my masks away. You know, so that all stays the same. I'm not going to, like, have a party. You know? I'm like, what will change? There's some peace of mind.
Yeah.
I think. But I'm like, even that doesn't change anything. I just kind of want life to be normal, or at least like hang out with my friends, like, and not care.
And unfortunately, I think
go to a bar and get drunk.
Yeah.
Because last time I went to a bar, there was a bar down the street from me, and my neighbor Phil and I decided to go.
Yeah.
We had our masks on. I've got hand sanitizer in my purse. We find this spot at the bar away from everybody. We're there maybe 5 minutes. This guy I used to know, I swear, in another life. It seemed like that long ago. He comes up. He's like, oh, my, he's just drunk. Oh, my God, how are you doing? I haven't seen you forever. And kissed me.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh, no. Like, there's a freaking pandemic, dude. You just don't walk up to someone you haven't seen in 20 years.
Yeah.
Kiss her. Like, it just came from nowhere. I'm like, okay, so much for going back there.
I think the only thing we can do is wait, and time will allow things to get back to normal. Is, you know, the quicker people, you know, aren't idiots, the sooner that that will happen. But there, I'm sorry, there's nothing that will ever change that idiot old friend of yours. That's there's no amount of time that's going to heal that wound.
Here's the funny thing is, I don't really remember being good friends with him.
Yeah.
Like, I worked with his wife, and her and I were good friends, but it's not like I ever went out with him or anything.
Well, he remembers differently.
I know. I'm like, what did I do that I don't remember? Why is he just happy to see me?
Was it in those younger Carol Hughes days that we don't talk about on the air much?
Well, it was just slightly after that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could be a little foggy.
I was working at a rock radio station that was very similar to WKRP in many ways.
Yeah, yeah. So, oh, there you go. There are. It's like, you know, like you drink too much. Like, oh, shit, what did I say last night? It's like, oh, what did I do that decade? You know?
And I'm afraid to go back, number one, because it's a pandemic and he'll kiss me again.
Exactly.
But then there's going to be that awkward, he's going to ask me out. And I'm going to,
yeah.
And then, I am so busy.
And then you find out he's still married to the woman that you're talking about, and he's still asking you out.
No, they got divorced.
Okay.
Because he was having an affair.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yes.
Well, the fog of war.
See, that worked out for him.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. First letter says, hey guys, my name's Daniel, writing in from Southgate, California. I consider myself a believer in all things paranormal, but only had a few experiences myself. Nothing too crazy, but I did write into y'all about a time I had my ankle grabbed by a green-looking hand one night while having a sleepover in the shed we have in the backyard. But never mind that. I'm writing about a story I heard from my girlfriend's best friend. We'll call her Kay. It's a three-part story. Sorry if it's too long. Anyway, it starts when she was a little girl, maybe 5 or 6. She lived in a typical single-story home and had her own room. She said she had a big dollhouse next to her bed, and above her bed was a shelf with 3 porcelain dolls her grandmother gifted her the previous birthdays. 3 dolls always gave her a bad feeling until one night, while trying to fall asleep, she said she started to hear little whispers coming from the shelf above her. Frozen with fear, all she could do was recite her prayers until she fell asleep. This became a nightly occurrence, and her mom never believed her. The activity only grew worse as she began to hear what sounded like her Barbies in the dollhouse next to her start to move around in there. It all led to one night when she noticed the whispering of the porcelain dolls starting to talk to her. She distinctly remembers the dolls say, "You know, we're coming for you, Kay." She said she jumped out of bed, ran to her mom's room, waking her up, yelling with fear. She remembers saying, "I can't sleep in my room. The devil is there." Her mom said, "The devil isn't real." And as soon as those words came out of her mouth, the power in her house went out completely. She said the next day her mom took her to see an old friend in Mexico to be baptized. Turns out when her mom was a teen in Mexico, she practiced witchcraft with the same friend. Her mom grew out of practice, but her friend became sort of a good witch, I guess. From here, her story only gets worse. When Kay went to middle school, she moved from her home to an apartment. One day while lying in bed on her laptop, she gets a call on her phone from an unsaved number. Not thinking much of it, she ignores it and continues on her laptop. The number calls again and she ignores it again. The third time it calls and finally she answers. Before she could even say hello, the voice on the line said, "I don't like being ignored, Kay." She asked who it was and the voice said, "You already know who this is." Confused, she wrote it off as someone prank calling her. So she clicked. It called again. She picks up and says, "I know it's just a prank call. Stop calling me." The voice then started to name things she had in her room as if they were looking at her at that very moment. At this point, she was convinced it was her brother, so she storms to her brother's room, telling him to stop calling her. And with a confused look, he replies with, "What the hell are you talking about?" Now, more scared than ever, she explains that she thinks someone is prank calling her. The number calls again. She lets her brother pick up the phone, and he answers with, "I don't know who this is, but stop this fucking calling this fucking number. You're scaring this little girl, asshole." And his face goes pale and he clicks the phone. She asks what happened. Well, he said was to stop answering that number. The last part and most recent story happened about a month ago. She now lives in an apartment with her roommate from college. One night she had a little get-together with some friends. The night went smooth, but one friend made a comment saying there was something off about the apartment, like it was a negative energy or something around. Finally, around 3 a.m., they all went home, and it was just Kay and her boyfriend left in the apartment. They went straight to bed, and Kay fell asleep almost instantly. Her boyfriend explained that in the night, he began to hear what sounded like the girl from The Grudge making that weird mouth noise coming from the bathroom. Freaked out, he woke Kay up, and they both started to hear it. They both got up out of bed to go check, and when Kay opened the door to her room, the remote control to the TV that was lying in the middle of the bed flew off and landed in the middle of the room. As this happened, Kay also noticed from her peripheral vision a shadow zoom past her already dark living room. Both freaked out, they jumped back to bed and stayed up the rest of the night. Some freaky shit. I think this all started back when the mom was practicing witchcraft in Mexico and had something attached to her, and eventually attached to Kay. Then after Kay was baptized by a supposed good witch, things just escalated. Again, sorry if this is way too long. It's just one of the best stories I've heard from someone I personally know. Would love to hear what you all think. Love the show. Keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, that is quite a story.
Creepy shit.
Yeah, just keeps following.
But what's funny is that he throws out the first story of the green hand that grabbed him in his murder shed.
Yep.
But I'm like, but I'm not going to talk about that. I'm like, what? Go back. What?
Yeah.
Anyway, but all of that's creepy. All of it. And like to me, like, okay, porcelain dolls are creepy, but that phone call thing, that to me, like, that doesn't necessarily have to be paranormal, I guess, but
sure.
That's scary stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you're thinking, you know, I think the first thing you'd go to is, you know, some sort of criminal that's trying to do something. But the way it all ends up getting set up and there's just so many things that don't make sense for it even to be something criminal. It seems like there's something that's, you know, not a human that is doing this, or not a living one anyway.
Yeah, that was creepy. No. All of it.
Very well told. Thank you for sharing that. And if there's any other updates to that or anything.
I hope
that,
there's not. That's enough.
I hope shit keeps going down just for the sake of the show. Just, you know.
Or maybe fill in the green hand in the shed.
Fill in that. And then let's hope your friend continues to get the shit haunted out of her just for the show, just for content. Just for that's all. Show. That's the only I'm kidding. I'm not serious. I kind of not serious. You know, I'm a little serious. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next letter. It says, hey, what's up, guys? I've been listening to your podcast now for at least 5 months, maybe more, and decided it would be cool to come forward with a crazy experience I had when I was deployed to Iraq. I've always believed in the paranormal realm, but never had any concrete evidence until one very hot and quiet night in the Middle East. There was one night when we didn't have any missions to go on, so it was a rather unusually relaxing night. Quiet in the surrounding city outside the base as well. 11 p.m. came and we got a radio transmission telling my team and me to go to the operations center to be briefed on a situation unfolding. It was there we learned a French special forces operator died fighting ISIS in a nearby city. We were asked to help the other French teammates carry the remains into the barrack of a French C-130 aircraft variant to return to France. It was a very sad night, to say the least. A couple of days went by after this event, and as bad as it sounds, life goes on, and my focus was back on my mission and not on the tragic death of the Frenchman. 3 or 4 days after the death, I was walking into my tent coming from the gym, and I saw a tall black figure standing in front of my bed that looked like they were in armor and equipment. I initially stood in the entrance of the tent wondering who was next to my bunk, and I said, hey, can I help you? I also thought it might have been a Kurdish soldier snooping around the American tents looking for food or gear to take. But as soon as I acknowledged whatever was there, it disappeared out of thin air. I immediately knew it was paranormal. When I built the courage to walk over to my bunk to place my stuff down, I saw a tattered patch between my blanket and pillow. The patch is a French flag that's worn on the French combat uniform. From that moment, I knew the French soldier I carried into the aircraft came to visit. There's no other possible explanation for why a French flag would be on my bed. I did not interpret this experience as a negative one, but creepy nonetheless. I never understood why it happened, but I get the vibe it was a thank you. Sorry, this story was short, but it's the best way I can describe the events. Since that day, I've not had any paranormal experiences with the ghost of the French soldier, but I do have more stories I can share in the future. Thank you for listening. I hope this story provides your listeners entertainment. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
And first off, I have all kinds of respect for anybody who joins the service. Like just what they go through just astounds me. And
sure.
You know, so I'd like to say that. But why the hell would you have a French flag on your bed,
mm-hmm.
on your bunk, right after you've seen something that was standing there and then disappeared? I mean, that's the only thing it could be.
Yeah, he was there, you know, saying thank you.
Yeah, because, like, I would imagine if they had to go get the body someplace and, like, anything like that would have been maybe not an easy thing to do. It's not like you just jump in your vehicle and just drive over and get something.
No.
You know, so my guess is there was a little bit more to getting the body.
Sure.
Too, and the fact that, you know, he's French and you're American, and I don't know. I think that's a really cool story.
That is.
And I would assume that, like, you would keep that flag forever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, the flag that he received from a ghost soldier, you know, that was,
yeah.
You know, thing, you know, saying thank you for doing the right thing. Thank you for doing this and bringing my body back. That's, yeah. That was a cool one. Thank you for sharing that. And we'd love to hear more from you if you got them. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hey, I've been watching you guys for just a couple of months now. And I'm hooked. It's such a cool show. I live in California. I grew up in a house that looking back on it, I am sure that there's something going on there. I always thought the weirdest feeling being in that house. And there were two instances that really stood out to me when I was growing up. Even when I was growing up, there was this feeling that we were not at ease. I grew up with my cousins. I didn't have any brothers and sisters. And it was my cousins that would always come over, and we were about 3, 6, 10. We would always play games in this house. It's my grandparents' house where I grew up, and we had another, like, separate place that we actually slept. So this was kind of just the playhouse and the place where my grandparents slept. And this was before my grandparents even passed away, but even before then, it was always so eerie in that house. And there was this one instance, even when we were growing up, we knew that there was something in that house. We didn't have it in ourselves that we knew what it was. We didn't know, like, okay, this is a ghost, but we knew that there was something going on. And this one instance, there was this room that had all these toys in it, and there were marionette dolls in this room, and there was one that was just a head, and then there was another that was a full body, and we would play with these marionette dolls, and we would always play kind of scary games, try to scare each other with the marionette dolls. Very easy to do because they were terrifying. And I just actually called my mother and asked her about this because the head, we all thought that it was an animatronic head. We thought that the head, we just knew, okay, the head speaks, it says weird phrases, it must just have batteries, and one day it wasn't it wasn't speaking, and I was like, oh, we need to replace batteries. And my mom was like, oh, no, you don't need to replace batteries. Just don't play with it anymore. And I asked her, was that marionette doll head, did it require batteries to work? And she said, no, that was never, no. And so we were hearing this doll speak, and it would say it had this deep man's voice, and we just assumed that it was a doll that required batteries, and that wasn't, and then we had this one instance that made us completely stop playing with the marionette dolls. We were playing with the head, and kind of just tossing around, just scaring each other with it. It was talking at this point. And then, we shortly thereafter stopped playing with these dolls, but we had a rocking horse chair. And we put one of the dolls, we put the full body doll on the chair. And we left the room to play with the head, and we looked down the hallway. We hear noise in the hallway, and we left, and we looked down the hallway, and we see the full-size marionette doll on the rocking horse. We did not put it there. It just appeared there out of nowhere, and it was moving. It was rocking back and forth, and all three of us looked at each other, and we ran out of the house. And I don't remember ever playing with that full-size body marionette doll ever again after that. But there was just a really weird energy in that house. And I, even as an adult, I went back into that room with the dolls. Since then, they've been given away. I think we sold them in garage sales, but the idea that the talking head was not, it was not animatronic. That's what got me. The other instance in that house was, in a different room. One time I did have to spend the night in that house, and I had this very vivid dream of this evil creature that was coming out of the closet, in the bedroom, and looking out at me at the bed. And it had red glowing eyes, and it was this really just, I knew it was evil. It had red glowing eyes, and it was this figure of a man, and it was just really evil. And I woke up terrified, and I saw the red eyes still. I was fully awake. I was probably about 7 years old at the time. And I was fully awake, and I saw these red eyes, and I ran to go get my grandmother. And when she came, obviously there were no red eyes, but I asked her what was in that closet. And she said that it was old war memorabilia from my great-grandfather, from World War II. And it had a lot of really negative energy on this memorabilia, because it was World War II, and it was a really, I mean, despicable point of history. And there were images of just terrible things that my grandpa experienced in war and different. And that made a lot of sense to me. I found that out years later, what it all meant. But looking back at it, it made a lot of sense why I had really negative feelings from that closet. But yeah, I try to not go in that house anymore when I go and visit my grandparents. And my gosh, I can tell you other stories too. My great grandparents both died in that house, and we also had another. I had a great uncle that also I feel like is connected to that house in some way. But yeah, there's my story. I hope you guys enjoy it, and thanks for making your podcast. All right, bye.
I think things with glowing red eyes get a bad rap all too often.
It's like it was just glowing red eyes.
Yeah. It's
come
like,
on.
I can't help the color of my eyes. If they're glowing red, they're glowing red. You hate the universe then. No, I mean,
obviously, yes.
But no, creepy stuff.
Well, and it's interesting to me that, you know, you would just keep a closet full of World War II memorabilia. Like, there's a nice, cheery little spot in the house. You know, because as soon as she said that, I was like, that would just, like, how could you not feel?
Sure.
You know, because what, like, happy stuff, you know?
Yeah.
You know, maybe you bought a souvenir when you were somewhere, but, you know, it just seems like anything memorabilia wouldn't have a lot of happiness attached to it.
No. No, that's a weird one. I mean, I understand collectors and all that, and that's your thing, cool. But yeah, I mean, those sort of things what it would have seen, who may have been wearing it, who was doing what with it, all that. I mean, it's just not a representation of a happy and cheerful time, you know?
No.
Not that.
And also, marionettes do not ever ride rocking horses by themselves. Yeah.
That's not a normal thing.
That ain't normal.
Yeah.
So you had every right to be freaked out by that.
Yeah. My God.
And then we sold them in a garage sale. Good.
Yeah.
Somebody else's problem.
Have you ever, speaking of World War II stuff and just
I wasn't alive feelings, then. Go ahead.
Tell me about what it was like to live through that, Carol. Have you ever been to the Holocaust Museum in D.C.?
No, I have not.
Yeah, that is one where, and again, I'm not a super duper sensitive person. I'd put myself maybe a 1 or 2 on the scale of 1 to 10. So like, I can just kind of feel vibes a little bit and that's about all. But I mean, I think you'd have to be, you know, soulless if you didn't feel something in that place.
You know where I did feel something real strong was the Ford Theater.
Oh.
That, because it was weird. I haven't always been fascinated by Abe Lincoln until the day I went there.
Really?
It happened that day. I went there and then I just dove into Abe Lincoln for about 3 years. Like, I started reading everything and it's just, it was just changed me.
How interesting that just did you like feel that immediately while you were in there or just after you left? You're like, I have a fascination now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very much so.
Wow.
Yeah. I was just so moved by everything.
Sure.
And, you know, it's like, oh, my God. And then they carried him there and like just all of it.
Yeah.
It just. So, yeah, I get that, how you can get a feeling.
Yeah.
And that's happened to me a lot of different places. But, you know, that just changed my life because, you know, like CNN's got this show they're doing right now on Abe Lincoln. Of course, I'm recording all that.
Every moment of
that's
it.
Must-see TV for me. But it's interesting how something like that or a place, you just, like, I could totally get, like, not even knowing what's in that closet and walking in some place like that and being able to pick up on that. I think a lot of people, even people who don't consider themselves sensitive, would walk in and go, just this weird feeling, which is what feeling sensitive is like for most people. And because that would just, that, I totally get that.
Yeah. It was, good stories. Thank you for sharing those with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. And let me probably get one more quick call in here on today's show. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hi, this is Tanya in Southwest Virginia. And I have a story I was just wondering if you might have any kind of answer to or have heard of any of this kind of thing happen before. It's not really a ghost story, but when I was a kid, maybe about 10 or so, we were camping, our whole family, in a Calco ghost town. And we all had, like, it was my mom and me and my uncle and my cousins and my grandpa and grandma and some other family friends, and we all had our own RVs. And my mom and I were in bed asleep. Well, everyone was in bed asleep at this time, sometime in the middle of the night. And my mom and I were both woken up by what we thought was my cousin, my little cousin, standing under the window where my bed was calling my name. We both heard him calling my name. So we jumped up out of bed and ran over to his camper because we thought he had gotten out or something, and knocked on the door to tell my uncle that Aaron was not in the, that he was outside calling for me. And so my uncle looked and Aaron was in his bed asleep. And so we never knew what that was because it was so weird. We totally heard his voice. Like, it wasn't any of my other cousins or anything. It was totally Aaron, like, that we heard standing under there just calling my name. And then a different kind of twist, he was killed probably about 10 years later. He was hit by a car. So I always thought that was kind of strange that I would hear his voice, although he was still alive then, but I don't know. It was just a weird thing, and we still talked about it, many years later. And I just always wondered, like, what that could be. Also weird that we'd be in a ghost town, although there wasn't really, like, ghost town, but whatever. I'm getting off track. So, anyways, I just wonder if you've heard of something like that, like a voice that doesn't have, what is that, a disembodied voice or something, and what you might think about the story. So, thank you. Bye-bye.
Dr. Carol?
Well, you might have more expertise in this, but I know that we've done stories before, and recently, as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. where people heard someone they know talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it was a couple recently, and I can't remember who it was, but they heard the other person's voice, but that wasn't possible.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder, I mean, is it something where the power of our thinking, you know, can sometimes be picked up by another individual? And that's how it comes through. Like, what the person may be thinking this and they're not in an area where the other person is going to hear their voice, but somehow this message is delivered in some way, shape, or form. I don't know. I don't know what that is or why that happens.
Is it just a ghost effing with you? And like, well, you can get their attention really good and wake them up in the middle of the night, and they will go running out because they think it's a child.
Yeah.
Outside by himself.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a lot of, you know, you can
or
look.
Was there like some teenager in this camping trip that thought that would be funny to do that? And they'd, you know, you're sound asleep and you think you hear that voice.
There's a lot of possibilities of where it could go. And then you start to break them all like, well, then why? How? What is this? And I don't have an answer, but I can see why that was a troubling, kind of creepy experience for her, and kind of wanting find answers.
Well, because especially you jump out of bed thinking this child's in danger.
Yeah.
I mean, that would scare the crap out of me, just hearing the kid's voice at night.
Did she say
when you're out camping?
Did she say other people heard it too? Or,
no, I think it was just her and her mother.
Yeah. And that's, yeah. I mean, I because there's the thing, that's why I asked if there's another person, and it's the exploding head syndrome thing. Typically, it's a large bang people will hear, and they'll be like, what the hell was that? And they get up, and it's in your mind. It was your brain somehow made this sound, and it disturbed you. But I've heard voices and stuff, too, and that sounds great. But I've had it where...
But you're seeking counseling. It's cool.
Exactly. It's all good. But what I mean is I've had it where I've been dreaming something, and you kind of get in that state where you're almost awake, almost asleep, and what you're hearing in your dream, you're almost thinking you're hearing out loud. And so I mean, there's ways that the mind could manipulate itself to kind of get in that place. But I don't know. I mean, it's very creepy. Although outside, too, there's a lot of animals that do sound like crying children. And I've heard many of them. And it's amazingly creepy how accurate or how much they sound alike in some cases.
Yeah, she did. She didn't say like she just or no. Did the kid say her name?
The name was actually, stated. Yeah. So there's not a lot of animals that mimic other people's candor and voice. Although I swear.
That's my cat. In the middle of the night, my cat does that all the time. So it could be saying Tony.
I had an experience yesterday, and this is going to sound crazy. It is what it is. I was in the garage because we're recording this in February. I know this is airing much later, but it's ridiculously cold. So I brought my chickens in from the coop and put them in the garage in a little coop in there, a little bit warmer, more insulated. And I was getting them water. And I said, here's your water and you guys have a good day. And I swear to God, because they wander around the coop and they're always like, you know, they're doing their chicken talk, and they're all just, it's these little, you know, squawks that sound almost like, you know, weird humming in words. And I swear to God, one of them, it sounded like they were like, and I'm like, did you just say thank you?
You know, I need more human interaction.
I know. And I'm just like, oh my God, I think the chicken just
kind of adorable.
I was like, God, I need to get out of this house. I think the chickens are talking to me. But seriously, though, I mean, it was just funny because they're always just making their little noises. But that one, like on cue at that time, it sure as hell sounded like it said, thank you.
Or did it.
Or did it.
It kind of circles back to the beginning of the show. Every day's the same. You're looking for something. How many chickens are talking to me?
I think in the same talk set here, I think I also said the words, and I hear voices in the night. And I also just then was talking about having the chickens talk to me. So
when the chicken said, I mean, you'll have to say it. I can't do it. When the chicken said, did you say you're welcome?
I did. Like, you're welcome. Did you just say thank you?
Yeah. That was the most adorable little chicken voice ever.
Like, you're welcome.
I can't quit laughing. Like, I have tears in my eyes. I'm laughing. So
that's what we're doing here in 2021, everybody.
Oh, that was funny.
Talking with the chickens. Yeah. Well, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. My chicken needs food. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes. It's all commercial free. You literally get access to the largest audio archive of ghost stories ever created. That's what we've done here. So you want it? Please help us keep on the air, and we'll give it all to you. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony, and for the chickens, woo-hoo, for listening.